Dr. Timothy Sly, epidemiologist, School of Public Health at Ryerson University. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Matt. Yourself?
I'm okay. I'm not surprised. We're waiting, until August to kind of get answers for September at this point in time. But are you curious to see it all? What a back to school plan looks like from the province this time around?
Oh, of course. I mean, we need the kids back in school. There's no question, not a shadow of a doubt about that. But we got to do it properly. I was looking at the figures just 2 days ago for another meeting, and all the way around us, so to the south, to the east, to the west, to all of Asia, Europe, Africa, and so on, the numbers are going up into another wave, sometimes the fourth wave for that country, sometimes the fifth, but whatever it is, all going up. And Canada, at the moment, is hardly noticing an increase. It's almost flat still. And wouldn't it be a shame if we really allowed that to run free? I don't think it's going to be. It will. The numbers will go up as kids go back and universities and colleges go back and people begin to, mix with each other. It will go up, but I don't think it's going to go up anywhere near as much as it was on the third wave, mainly because we've done a pretty good job at becoming vaccinated. We're one of the leading countries in the world now, one of the top five countries in the world, which is really good because we started off pretty slow.
The idea of how important or how much of a driving factor schools have been or will be in any further spread or where they've been over time has been a little bit contentious. How have you felt? Because many school boards were talking, many local medical officers would talk about, we didn't have many outbreaks, we didn't have many cases in schools. But there's another faction of a lot of epidemiologists and stuff that said, we just weren't testing them. They were probably transmitting this virus that we just didn't know that they were. Do you have a good feel, or do you have a good thought of where the schools actually have been sitting over the last year and a half, I guess?
Yeah, you raise a really important point, Matt. You see, if this was influenza or, for goodness sake, mumps or measles or something outbreak, so we'd be able to trace it from case to case to case, beads on the string and all fanning out and so on. But right from the beginning, this thing has played all kinds of tricks, but not the least of which is that at least 50% of people who have the virus have no signs or symptoms and don't even know they have it. And kids being especially in that very mild to asymptomatic group, especially, there's very little way to keep your finger on the pulse with kids. That's why to take every possible safety measure, we've had this, keeping the kids out of school, because the classroom becomes a petri dish, where you can see one kid infecting another. Neither of the kids may, in fact, know they've got the virus, but they'll take it home, and next thing you know, grandpa or grandma is ill, and one of them doesn't make it. And what an awful guilt trip for the poor 10-year-old to know that they brought the virus home, totally unknown.
Yeah, which is the tough part. So as we're planning and waiting for some sort of guidelines from the province next week, what are you wanting to see out of this? Because I know what we've seen through the Delta variant in the UK, I remember hearing and seeing some stats in terms of schools being much more of a driver for infections in the UK in the last little while. So what do we need to do to prepare ourselves so that we're not seeing ourselves in a problem situation with schools?
Well, we should be putting together all the stuff that we've learned, all the lessons we've learned about this particular foe in the last year and a half. And they would be things like making sure we keep the cohorting. In other words, you don't let all the kids mix with all the kids during the school day. They keep to their bus group. They keep to their classroom group. Because if there is a bit of a transfer of the virus, at least we can keep it to that 25 or 20 or 30 kids. He's not going to be among the 400 in the school. That's cohorting. Another thing we would need would be the regular screening, the kind of thing that everybody should be going through every day before they go to school. Have you got this symptom? Have you got that symptom? Do you know anybody else if you mix with that kind of the regular screening we've all had, and we should be seeing that. No visitors to schools. That includes parents. We don't want the outsiders in the school. That's a real problem. Masks as much as possible, and of course it depends on the age of the kids and what they're doing, and they can't really eat their lunch with a mask and so on. But as much as possible, ventilation is a big one. For while the weather is still pretty good, let's keep the windows open as much as possible. And once the weather begins to get a bit cold, let's make sure the mechanical ventilation is working. Let's make sure you've got some good filters in. One good thing about the virus, Matt, is we found that it doesn't seem to survive trips through ductwork.
Okay.
So even though you may have fairly ordinary ducting system and a mechanical ventilation, by the time it's gone through that and a couple of regular filters, there's really no virus left at the end of that. And that's a good bit of news, but at least we need to get the air moving and along like that. And contingency plans for what happens when there is a case. Isolate. Don't send them home on the school bus. The parents must come to pick them up. And they don't come back until certain precautions are in place. And, of course, vaccination from staff. I mean, to be a teacher, I think we've almost got to say it's got to be mandatory to be vaccinated properly.
I was going to ask you on that, because that is, at this point, it's still a hot button. It seems for a lot of people, there are many groups that are saying, look, that we need to make this a mandatory thing for teachers. The teachers' unions don't seem to be too on board with that, but it feels like the obvious thing to do to make that mandatory. If you don't want to do that, then sorry, we can't have you around a bunch of unvaccinated people.
I'm with you, Matt, all the way. And I think with healthcare people who want to be in a job where they're interfacing with the public directly, such as manicurists and hairdressers and dentists and so on, because dentists have a tremendous amount of protection in place, and they're really strict. But anyways, teachers especially, there comes a point where we have to say, you know, civil rights and personal freedoms are one thing, but we're in the age of a once-in-a-century pandemic, and it kills people. And so we put that to one side, and if you don't want to become vaccinated, then you become maybe the person who, you know, looks after the stock room or sweeps the floor or something. It's as simple as that. We've got to say it.
Of the things that you mentioned cohorting and masks. Those are two things that have come up a couple of different times and with the return to school. And there's a lot of people who want to get rid of cohorting so they can bring back in a lot of extracurricular activities. And there is a group that want to kind of take the masks off at schools, too. Those two seem to me like they may be the more contentious ones, whether or not they're in or out of the province's kind of plan, don't you think?
Absolutely. And there's always going to be those people who are on the fringe and they say, no, that's not for me. Nobody. Look at I forget which news agency was the other day reporting somebody who's just recovered from 3 weeks in an intensive care unit that weren't vaccinated. And they get asked the question by the reporter, well, now you're going to go out and get vaccinated? No way, he says. Nobody's going to force vaccine down my throat. I mean, there comes a point where you begin to wonder what's going on inside people's brains like that. This is an important time of year. Having gone through this year and a half, having been vaccinated and lined up and been properly processed, we're now leading in the world and for many countries. Why would we want to take a risk and expose now to another increase? Just like Britain, for example, is at about 3/4 of the rate per day as it was in its peak of its third wave. They're well into their fourth wave. Now, it's hiccuped a little bit in the last couple of days. We're not too sure why that is. It's probably going to carry on. But it's 3/4 of the way up in terms of the daily rate. We don't want to go through that process.
Well, even in the States, right? I know so many people made such a big deal when the CDC said, you can take off your masks, and now they're telling you to put them back on. It's like, that's why you don't go too quick to release the gas pedal kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know why CDC came out with that. Everybody at CDC knew it was too soon to start telling people to take off their mask, even though you've got hordes of people going around the streets having mask-burning ceremonies. Yeah. I mean, these are—I don't know what you can do with those people. I mean, if you spray them down with Lysol and put them in a field behind a fence until, you know, it's all over with. I don't know what you do. But for most sensible people, we take a sensible approach. And let's protect our kids, let's protect our school system, let's get kids back to school, let's not see a big fourth wave. We'll see little numbers, but there'll be... Look, well, you see, each variant comes out, moves the goalposts. If this was still back with the original virus, we would all be in the bistro and the bar and the beach by now. It'll be finished. Delta's now meant that we now need at least 80% vaccinated to keep this thing. And as Fauci has said, if we don't do it, we're going to look forward to foreseeable future with what he calls a smoldering endemic. You know, cases here, there, and everywhere, little outbreaks, little clusters, little fires, bushfires. And we don't want to see that. We want to see the end of this, if at all possible.
Yeah, and September feels like it's going to be a pivotal time with schools and workplaces and everything else, and people kind of going back to some sort of more regular routine. Feels like it's going to be pivotal, so we'll see what the next announcement is from the provincial government. Tim, I appreciate the chat today. Thanks.
Anytime, Matt. Thank you.
Take care. There is Dr. Timothy Sly, epidemiologist, School of Public Health at Ryerson University, as we wait for Lecce and Ford and everybody else to tell us what the guidelines will look like for school in September.